And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon every man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do you loosen the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they came from Bethany, was a hungered, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You know, it's obvious in reading the scripture that Jesus was continually confronted by people who wanted to cause him problems. Here, Jesus in the 52nd verse of the 10th chapter, speaking to a blind man, said, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then we find him here in the 11th chapter of the book of St. Mark. Here in the 22nd, 23rd chapter or verse, saying that if a man would have faith in God, that it did not matter what he should say, if he really believed it, that it would happen. You know, the devil, if there's one thing that the devil does, it's challenge the faith of the believer. Satan continually challenges the faith of the believer. And there are those that rejoice in the fact that the faith of the believer is challenged, because they themselves are a part of Satan's kingdom, And anything that they can do to challenge the faith of the believer or rejoice in the fact that it has been challenged, it thrills them. But nevertheless, as the Bible said, they have their rewards. But there's one thing about it, the most blessed thing that ever happened to you or to me is when the devil challenges our faith. Because it's in the time of the challenge of our faith that we have opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and to apply our faith in a greater way to seek and to search out that we might be able to do greater things for God. And I believe in my heart, with all of my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, I believe. It does not matter to me how the devil challenges my faith. It does not matter to me what the oppositions are, or what the problems are, or what the times, the seasons may be. It doesn't affect me in the least. I still believe. I believe because Jesus said that we should believe. Men should always pray, not faint. And the Bible tells us that we should build up our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, you can build your faith up by praying in the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we see faith, we see things taking place, that is, in the service, and we say, well, can this really be faith in God? Can this really be faith? A lot of times we wonder if it really can be faith. Wondering if the things that we see really can be faith. And I'd like to talk on it for just a moment. We see different things take place and we say, can this be faith? Can this be God? Because we ask ourselves this question continually. If what I think ought to happen doesn't happen, then can God be in our midst? You know, people are so foolish. They're so far from the reality of Christ, even with all of their religious activities. They're so far from the knowledge of God and the reality of God. And they ever call God into question and ever call faith into question, and that the devil is continually challenging faith. So then the question is, can God be in our midst? Can God be with us if everything that we think ought to happen doesn't happen? And so it continues on year after year and day after day. The challenge of faith continues on. It never stops. Day after day and year after year it continues on. But you know, it is so beautiful to know that God is the living reality that is in this world, always encouraging, always walking with us, always telling us, always talking to us, and always making us to understand. Whereas those that are on the contrary part might not believe, yet we that understand God cannot do anything but believe. If a person is born to faith, they cannot do anything but believe in God. There's nothing else they can do. People that do not have faith in God, that are not born of God, they cannot believe. For the Bible teaches all men have not faith. But they that are born of God, they cannot do anything but believe. And that the Bible teaches that he that is born of God cannot sin. His justification, therefore, being by faith, there's no way that he can disbelieve. Should he disbelieve at any time, he would be a sinner. He would be in violation of God. He would have violated the principles of righteousness, and therefore he would be lost. One sin would cause him to forever be cut off from God. Therefore, his justification by faith, which faith remains in his heart, that faith purifies his heart. The Bible uses the terms that man's heart is purified by faith, and that faith through the Spirit of God. So then, when we see these great, wonderful things taking place, we are made to wonder, can it be God? Can it be God? You know, a lot of times you're sick, and maybe you go on being sick for months. And maybe you have some kind of disease, and you go on having that disease for many years. And because that disease is not healed, though you pray, though because that disease is not moved, though you believe, maybe you have a loved one, and that loved one is not healed. Therefore, you wonder, you say, how can it be that there is a God? How can it be that this is faith when the Bible says all that I have to do is ask, And God will grant it unto me that if I believe anything, it will happen. And here I believed all of it, and it hasn't happened. And so we go on again as the devil challenges faith. Always questioning the word of God and questioning God, because your disease isn't moved, because your inconvenience isn't changed, because your affliction doesn't pass away, then as far as you're concerned, there must be something wrong with the preacher. There must be something wrong with the church. There must be something wrong with God. There must be something wrong with the Bible. They've left something out. Something isn't right. Somebody has said something wrong. The word of God just isn't like it says it is. But you know, it doesn't change the fact that it's absolutely the same when you get through with all of your foolishness. When a person stands up and prophesies, is that God or is that not God? See, when a person stands up under the inspiration of God and they prophesy, is that God or is that not God? All right, we'll say, then that's not God, someone would say. Why is that? Because everything I wanted to happen didn't happen when I asked him. So then we'll say, when the preacher preaches, the Bible said it's not him speaking, but it's the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within him. Is then that not God? Because what you wanted to happen didn't happen, then that's not God either. So then we'll say that's not God either. So then God isn't doing anything in the preaching either. Isn't God in the prophesying? Isn't God in the preaching? So then as we continue on, though they build a church, somebody gets together, a group gets together, the inspired of God, they say, look what God done. But somebody would say, no, that's not God either. God didn't do what I thought he ought to do, so there's no God to that either. So then there's no God in that we didn't build a church. You know, there's no church built by God. Nothing. Have you understand what I'm saying? And so then we continue on, because we ourselves as individuals don't get everything we want. Don't get it done our way. It doesn't happen the way we feel it ought to happen. So then there's no God in the prophesying. There's no God in the preaching. There's no God in the building of the church. No God in taking care of the poor. No God in evangelizing. No God in preaching the gospel. But now when you remember, there's one thing this really causes you to have to stop and think. If all of that be true, then that means that there's not one living human being that's ever lived on the face of the earth or ever will live on the face of the earth that ever had salvation or ever will find salvation. Because if there's no God in the rest of it, there's no God in the new birth, there's no God in salvation, there's just no God, period. I might say I love Jesus. Now just let's look at it just like it is. If we, with our foolish thinking and our foolish reasoning, are going to sit and reason God clear out of everything, we might as well do a good job of it while we're at it. And that way, we won't have to worry about hindering God, because there is no God. There is no church. There is no born-again believers. There is no such thing as people being born again. If it is not faith when a man prophesies, if it's not faith when a man preaches, if it's not faith when a man evangelizes, it's not faith when a man says he's born again. Somebody say amen. And if there's no faith when a man says he's born again, then there is no Christians. If there's no Christians and God is found a liar, if that be true, then there must not be a God. Because the Bible said God cannot lie. So then we see, when we finish running the thing out the way the devil would have us believe it, that it is nothing more than a lie of the devil. Now then, let's look at it on the other side. Because everything doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, or the way we think it ought to happen, is God still in the church? Sure he's in the church. Is God in the prophecy? He certainly is in the prophecy. Is God in the preaching? He certainly is in the preaching. How do you know that he's in the preaching? Because God is in the born again experience. God is in the believer. And the Bible said it not be the preacher speaking, but God speaking from within him. Then is God in those people that are born again? Is God in those that are calling on the name of Jesus? Is God in those that find their way down to the altar? Is God in those that are born again that are believers? Is that real faith? That is real faith. That's God. Then, my brother, sister, we've got to confess that there is a God and that somebody in the world has faith whether we believe it or not. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, well, you just don't have faith. But that's where you're wrong, see? You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm just trying to show you how foolish some people are. They stay around like a tadpole in a hole about that deep, just like a tadpole, you know, or an old frog, around where the ground's a little damp and they never get out of the water. They don't know really what they believe or what they think or nothing else. They won't go this way or that way. They don't know what it's all about. All they do is doubt reason in their minds and hinder the moving of the Holy Ghost. So then, is there a God? There surely is a God. Is there faith in God? There surely is faith in God. Is there anybody living anywhere in the world that has faith in God? There is somebody that lives somewhere in the world that's got faith in God. But the thing is, Brother Pike, is there anybody at Bethlehem that has faith in God? There sure is somebody at Bethlehem that has faith in God. Is there anybody in the audience that's got faith in God? If you have, I'd like for you to raise your hand. All right, so then there's somebody here at Bethlehem that's got faith in God. All right, then, the devil says, if you've got faith in God, then why doesn't it work like I want it to work? Why is it somebody says that I'm still sick and I prayed all of these years? Why is it that my loved one is still sick and they prayed all of these years? Why is it that I'm still in poverty? I believed all these many years that God would make me rich. Why is it? When the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Why is all of these things? Well, there's an answer to them. But beloved friend, the answer isn't that there is no God and that there's no faith and there's no church of the living God of the earth. That's not the answer to them. The answer is this. Do we have faith? Or is it a fact that we don't have faith? It's like when the disciples came to Jesus one time. And they said, Lord, would you increase our faith? The Lord could very well have said, what do you mean, increase your faith? But he didn't do that. He knew that they didn't understand faith. He knew that they didn't even understand what they were saying. Oh, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that they probably didn't, but now when you talk about somebody understanding, you can't put that off on me. You know me. I'm different. I understand. Yeah, I know you. The devil knows you too. He's acquainted with you and your puffed up mind. He knows you too. They didn't understand, and you don't understand either. See, what is the difference? Lord, increase our faith, they said. Jesus said, increase your faith. And he looked back, he said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'd move a mountain. Somebody say, I love Jesus. While there was, you know, just like somebody would come up and say, Brother Taylor, I've got a whole bushel of faith, but that won't do the job. Could you give me another half a bushel and help me get another half a bushel? Frank, look over into your bag and say, my lands, all you got's an empty sack. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? So then they said, Lord, increase our faith. That is, we've got plenty of it, but we still need an increase. Jesus just as if to say, no, that isn't what it is, fellas. You've got a misunderstanding somewhere. If you had any at all, you'd be moving mountains. Now then, somebody would say, now right there, Brother Pike, is what I believe. How come we ain't moving them mountains? Now that's a good question right there. Why is it? You mean to tell me that if any person has any faith, that it's possible for them to move a mountain? I mean exactly that. If there's any living human being anywhere in the world that's got any faith, it's possible for them to move a mountain. Jesus said, if it's no more than that of a grain of mustard seed. Now, I know we use a lot of illustrations. We say, well, that grain of mustard seed, you know, it means it's so small, and you put it in the ground, it grows up into a big tree, you know, and the birds, they lodge in the branches, and I know that that's true, and I know that's what Jesus was saying. But they said, now, Jesus didn't mean that little tiny seed, but I beg your pardon, Jesus meant that little tiny seed. That's exactly what Jesus meant. If you had any faith at all, he said, you wouldn't need no increase of it. Brother, sister, what we need to do is to understand. Faith, the Bible said, to him that believeth. That's faith. How have you agreed that that's faith, to him that believeth? It says all things are possible to him. That is, he can move a mountain. Is that right? All things are possible. Somebody said, wait a minute. No, wait a minute about it. The devil just can't stay in the crowd. It's a true fact. The Bible says, to him that believeth, all things are possible. Which means Jesus said, if you got it as like the grain of a mustard seed, my brother, you can move a mountain. Come on now. And then I wonder what he meant by that scripture. That's what he meant by that scripture. You say, you mean that if I'm just a believer, I can move a mountain? That's exactly what he meant by that scripture. He said, my dear brother, if you even had any faith, that's what he was saying. If you had any faith at all, any kind of faith, it would prove that you was a believer. And if you're a believer, all things are possible to you, even moving a mountain. I might say, well, I don't remember moving no mountain. No, I don't remember Peter and him moving any mountains either. But I'll tell you what, that same Peter took hold of what he said and he walked on the water. Amen. He raised the dead and he opened the eyes of the blind and he'd done a lot of other things outside of move mountains. You love the Lord? The one thing about it, I never see nobody move mountains. Well, I'll tell you what, even them people out there in the world has had enough faith. Jesus said if even those people stuck together, it wouldn't be nothing hid from them, that they'd build that tower slap up to Babylon. Even they've done got to where they can move mountains. Takes a few bulldozers, but they can do it. A few hours, they can do it. Move them all the time. Just got to believing together and got the right bolts and screws and nuts and put them together and move the mountain. He said, well, they've done that with a bulldozer. They didn't have a bulldozer. How could they do it with a bulldozer? They'd done it with their believing. That's what brought the bolts and screws and nuts, and they put them all together. That's what built the bulldozer. Somebody say, I love Jesus. How do you know there was a believing before there was a bulldozer? All right, now, what I'm saying is that if you are a believer, you are a child of the living God. If you believe, you can do anything. You say, but Brother Pike, why don't I do it? For the same reason that you don't do a whole lot of other things. There's some men that can make $1 million, so they go out and make $1 million. You don't never make $1 million. Somebody said, well, that's because I can't make $1 million. Oh, yes, you can. You're a human being just like they're a human being. They made $1 million. You say, but, well, they had the upper hand. No, a lot of them was born crippled. A lot of them was born with, that there's people that have made millions of dollars that can't even use their hands. Somebody say, I love the Lord. You got 10 times the advantage of some of them that made $1 million. You say, well, what caused them to make $1 million? Their ability? Going to school? Education? No, no. Brother or sister, you can find hundreds of thousands of people that have great education that don't even hardly have bread to eat. As a matter of fact, I've met them on Skid Row. That was great men of ability. I've met lawyers. I've met great professional men that was on Skid Row that didn't have nothing. That was beggars. They had to give them a meal to eat. That isn't what does it. Strength, integrity, all of the things the world has to offer, that isn't what does it. But see, there's some people that's got enough determination, enough perseverance, enough drive in them that they can do 10 times what another person can do, even if they are afflicted or if they are not capable of doing it. They may not have any education, They may not have any talents. There's people, millions of people, that have great educations and have great talents, great abilities, that can't even pay their bills. There are people that don't have any education. There are people that don't have any talents, that have great places in the world. They've obtained unto kings, they've obtained unto presidents, they've obtained unto wealth. They have great power. How is it that they do that? I think about my brother Junior, for instance. My brother Junior, you couldn't get him to go to school. It wasn't no way. I mean, that was just out of the question. He would not go to school. I don't care what you've done. Daddy and nobody else wouldn't make Junior go to school. But yet God blessed Junior because he was willing to work, willing to do something with his hands, willing to be in the cold, willing to have a perseverance. He's always had money, always had a nice home ever since I can remember just about it. Nice automobile, money in the bank, always got by. Men working for him that's got college educations that can't even pay their bills. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now what caused that? There is a reason, my brother. This is the thing that I'm trying to tell you tonight. Are we underprivileged only when we believe that we are underprivileged? Are we underprivileged in that we cannot do what other people do? Only when we accept that fact. Only when we don't have the perseverance. Only when we won't get out and put our best foot forward. The Bible said, ask what you will, I'll do it. Believe what you will. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. The Bible tells us that if we're willing to do these things, God will be with us. But brothers and sisters, if we're willing to sit around and grumble and mumble and find fault and blame everybody for our shortcomings and our inabilities, we'll never do anything. Did you know that? There are some people that all they ever do is gossip, backbite, tear down, steal the virtues of other people's lives. They want a leech off of somebody. They want somebody to give them something to take care of them. They're too lazy to work. They can't forbear working. They can't stand to do anything. They don't want any responsibility whatsoever. They just want a leech off of somebody. As a consequence of that, they never get anywhere. If they ever got anything, God had knocked the props out from under them because he doesn't want that kind of person to succeed. The Bible said riches gotten by labor shall increase. If you get anything, and if it's not by labor, if it's not through God, then God's going to take it away from you anyway. Or take you away from it. You're not going to be able to enjoy it one way or another. You're going to lose your health to where you can't enjoy it, or you're going to lose your wealth to where you can't enjoy it. Something is going to happen to you because God doesn't like that kind of people. The Bible said, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be unpunished. But if a man will work, if a man will labor, if a man will do something for God, then Christ will bless him and he'll become a great person in the earth and his cup will overflow. Hallelujah. And God will help that man or that woman and they'll do some great thing in the earth, something that's great, something that's outstanding, because they refuse to let anybody or anything stand in their way. Now, they might see where you could have done something that you didn't do. You might could have strengthened them in something that you didn't. But that isn't going to stop them. They're going to do it anyway. It's like Jack Coase said many years ago. Jack wanted to do something. He wanted to build a children's home. He went to try to get the money. They turned him down. He went to the wealthy. They turned him down. He went to the banks. They turned him down. Jack got upset and said, I don't care if none of you lets me have it. I'm going to build it anyway. So he built it and it stands as a memorial today. Though Jack's dead, passed on, yet it stands as a great memorial of faith. He did it anyway. Brother, sister, when you put your faith in God, I don't care whether the rich man helps you or the poor man helps you or anybody helps you, God is going to do it because you believe it. And that's what I believe in. Jesus said, it doesn't matter what you want. Ask and I will do it. Believe and I will do it. Just don't give up. I will do it, Jesus said. All of the promises of God are yea and amen. What we've got to do is get up and be about our Father's business and say, we're going to do it. I might say, oh, you just crow all you want to, but bless God, it won't happen. I'll crow all I want to, and Paul said, if I boast, I'll boast in Christ, because it will happen. What if it don't happen, then where are you going to be? What if it does happen, then where are you going to be? It's going to happen. Like that smart aleck lawyer that stood up yonder, and I made my boast in the courtroom. You try God, I'll try the law. We'll see who wins out. I said, let me give you a word of prophecy before we go to court. I'm going to win out, and you're going to lose. And he did. And he did. Hallelujah. Because I trusted in God, that's what we got to do. Trust in Christ. See, it pleases God when we believe in the Lord. When we believe in the Lord, it pleases God. Peter said, having the end of your faith, wherein you receive the end of your faith, when there comes to you the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, we see this. What does this mean to you and I? What does it mean? All right, let's look at it for just a minute. How have you got just a minute just to analyze it? Let me give you just a little swallow of water, enough to analyze this just for a few minutes. Now then, Brother Pike, why are you preaching like this? What good is this to us? All right, let's look at it. A lot of people, because they can't get everything they want the way they want it, not understanding, not being tutored right, they get discouraged and they just throw up the hand and they say, well, I just don't have any faith. My brother, sister, it is a true fact that when you quit, you don't have anything. You might have had something before you quit, but when you quit, you lost it. You don't have anything. You say, but Brother Pike, if you had it, you couldn't lose it. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. You can have it and cast it away. Peter had such great faith that he could walk on the water 1 minute. The very next minute, the great and mighty Peter that had walked on the water was sinking down beneath the water and couldn't even keep afloat. Ain't that something? Did you know, I suppose Peter was a good swimmer. But he apparently lost his faith so much he couldn't even swim. He said, Lord, you better do something. I'm going to perish. But did you notice that he did have at least enough faith to believe that God would save him? Now before that, he had faith to where he could walk on the water. Made him equal with his master. The Bible said, if one that be perfect shall be as his master. Here he had the power to walk on the water just like the master. All he did was take the master at his word. He said, if that's you, tell me to come to you. He said, come on, Peter. He took the word of God. He walked on the water. But when Peter began to get back in the human mind, get his mind off of the word and begin to reason, just as quick as he began to reason, he began to look at circumstances. He began to look at the raging waves, and down he went. And he screamed out, just enough faith, oh God, save me, believing that Jesus at least would take his hand. Now see, I said that to say this. 1 minute your faith can be so powerful that you could do anything, and the next minute you can be so weak that you couldn't do nothing. The same great people that 1 minute are great and mighty in God and victorious, the next minute they are a defeated foe. Look at Israel. There was Israel that had fought battle after battle, had conquered nation after nation, done the greatest things that was ever recorded in history, had defeated nations that were so great and powerful, so much bigger than they were. But when they got into Canaan, they grew fat, lazy, careless. Got over there, wasn't praying, wasn't talking to God, let their faith get down on them. Got their mind on the grapes of Eshcol and on the land and the honey and the milk and forgot all about God. Isn't that right? And about the time that the giant rose up and their enemy come up, they found themselves helpless. Now, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what happens to you. What you need to do is stay in tune with God. You need to keep your faith up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You have to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. When the Bible said pray in the Holy Ghost, it means pray in the Spirit. Paul said, I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding. I'll pray, just pray, and then I'll pray in the Spirit. I might just pray with my understanding till I can get in the Spirit. But I'll pray in the Spirit. Once you get in the Spirit and you begin to feel the Spirit, you feel the inspiration, you feel something driving you, then you want to pray more and more and more, and the Holy Ghost begins to move and you get inspired and your faith begins to get built up. Anointed faith, as we say in the little track, anointed faith, it changes over from man's faith to God's faith when that Spirit begins to touch it. Now then, so we find that your faith can do great things for you, but if you let your faith get away from you, then you'll go down. Now, you that have faith in God, do you have faith in God? Now, I asked you a while ago, and you raised your hands up. Just a little while ago, isn't that right? I said, do you have faith in God? You raised your hand up. I've got faith in God. All right, you that have faith in God, you raised your hand up, and as you say, you're born again. All of you that have faith in God, the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. Now then, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that perhaps there might be something that I might strike it lucky on and do. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that maybe there's something that you might do. It means that there is nothing that you can't do. All things are possible to a believer. When you are a believer, that means that anything can be done by you. Anything. Because you are a believer, all things is possible to you. That brings into your ability, your control, all things. Because you are a believer, you are a son of God, you are one of them that believe. All things are possible to a believer. Nothing is impossible to a believer. They're in command. They're in command. You are in command, you're the believer. All things are subject to you and your faith. That makes all things possible to you. Everything you want to do, anything you want to do, you are a believer. You can do it. Now then, why doesn't it happen, somebody would say. There's a few little things that we need to learn about faith. One thing is, Jesus said, when you pray, when you stand praying, a lot of times we stand praying here, that is, pray always, pray while you're walking, pray while you're standing, you lay down on your bed, still pray, meditate in His laws day and night. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. You don't have to get somewhere on your knees. You can build up your holy faith. I've been riding down the road, tears streaming down my cheeks, building up my most holy faith in God by praying in the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So then, you that are believers, whenever you stand, the Bible says that if you've got aught against your brother, if there is anything, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's in your heart against your loved ones, that is your fellow man in Christ, then forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what's that got to do with faith? Either you've got faith or you haven't got faith. No, you can't look at it like that, see. That's not right. You may have faith as Peter did, and you may be drowned in because you can't use it. You say, what do you mean by that? Because Jesus saw great faith in Peter, gave him the keys to the kingdom, then rebuked him for letting the devil get a hold of him, and Peter started to cursing, and he told him, said, when you get converted, I want you to do something for me. The faith was there. The faith was there. He'd already seen Peter brave the storms of the sea. He picked Peter because Peter was a courageous man standing on the bow of a boat when the winds was beating against him, and he would tell the rest of the crew, come on, we can make it to shore. He picked him out because he'd saw the perseverance even in the natural. He knew what kind of man he was, and he knew that if he gave Peter just a little hope, Peter would drive. So he encouraged Peter, but he said, now, Peter, all of this cursing, all of this, he said, now, when you get converted and when you change around, I want you to strengthen the brethren. And later, Peter raised the dead and done great things. What was it all about? One thing that Peter had, faith in God. Now, look at it like this. He might not have understood as well as Paul did, but he had faith in God. Amen. He had faith in God. Isn't that right? Peter understood all right. Peter just got careless over there. That's what it was. That's why Paul rebuked him, because he did understand. Now, if you've got faith in God, that means that all things are possible to you. What is it then that if I have faith in God, then I don't get everything that I want? Because there is degrees of strength. There are degrees of strength in believing. The Bible says that Abraham was strong in faith. If the Bible uses the term that Abraham was strong in faith, that means that another person could be weak in faith. For the same Bible says, receive the weak brother, though they may be weak in faith. There's a strong person in faith, and there's a weak person in faith. What causes a person to be weak with life and another strong with life? Both of them's got life. It's just exactly that one thing that we're speaking of. It's a matter of strength. The Bible said some shall live longer by reason of strength. He's lost his strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That building up of the Holy Ghost, which is our faith, our strength of faith. My faith must be strong in God. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. All of them that have faith in God, what they ought to do is strengthen their faith. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, strengthen that remains. Strengthen that remains. A lot of times we don't do anything to strengthen that remains. We lose out with God and lose out with God and could do something, but we just mess around, keep losing out with God and won't strengthen that remains until finally we just collapse. Strengthen that remains. Do something. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Study your Bible. Pray a little bit. Fast a little bit. Make an effort a little bit to do something for God. Get stirred up. Get excited about things. And step out on the promises of God like Peter did. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid if I do that, I'll collapse. You're going to collapse anyway. You're going to collapse if you don't do it. Somebody said, well, I'm just so afraid to exert a little energy. I'm just afraid I'll collapse. I'll tell you what, that one that pushes over that feeling and go on and take a little bodily exercise, they'll live on and on by reason of strength. But that other person that won't do anything to keep feeling they're so weak they can't do anything, after a while they're going to collapse anyway. So then let's do something for God. I say I'm going to bring you a cup of water. Say, what kind of water? Hot water. I said, that's fine, but how hot is the water? Somebody said, red hot and still heating. See, when you say hot water, how hot? Somebody said, is it real hot? Scalding hot. It's the same way with your faith. You do have faith. Don't throw it away. Don't say that you don't have faith. Because faith works in many ways. There is one spirit, many operations. What about your strength of faith? There are many operations. One spirit, many operations. There's a spirit of God, one spirit of God. An operation of prophesying. Is that faith? It takes faith to prophesy. There's another operation of God. What kind of operation of God? Preaching is an operation of God. That takes faith. Doing many things in the world today, it takes faith in God. There's faith in God when you heal the sick. But still, there is a greater measure of faith when you work a miracle. The Bible speaks of the gifts of healing. You might pray and somebody might be healed of a headache. You might pray and your faith might be strong enough that somebody might be healed of a disease. But you might even have the gift of healing, but you may not be able to work the miracle that you'd like to work. Does that mean that you don't have any faith? It certainly does not. There is another operation. There is an operation of the Spirit when it takes faith, like in the life of Solomon, the gift of wisdom. That was faith. There are numbers of gifts in the body. There is a gift of discernment. When a person has faith to be able to perceive your thoughts and know your life, that takes faith. It takes faith in many things. A person might be able to open the eyes of the blind, but not able to raise the dead. But nevertheless, that's another operation. It depends on the strength of your faith. Building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that we are supposed to strengthen that that remains. I'm supposed to strengthen my faith in God. The Bible said many mighty works he could not do, God could not do, because he didn't have nobody to work through. He didn't have nobody to work through. Many mighty works that even God himself could not do through Jesus Christ, he didn't have nobody to work through. He said, but Brother Pike, surely he could work through Jesus Christ. But it took more than that. It took a living receptacle. The Bible said in there he did no mighty works. But did he not have faith? Because there was no mighty works done, did that mean that he did not have faith? The Bible said he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Those sick people were healed. But he did not call that mighty works, another operation. So then it depends on the faith. Do we then not have faith because the mighty works are not wrought in the church today? Of course not. We do have faith. We do have faith. That's not the reason, because the church don't have faith. But the thing is, we need to get back to the same foundation that the church of yesterday had, the same concern, the same drive, the same living actions. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got to get back to the same drive. We've got to strengthen our faith. Here in America, it's like Brother David Terrell said, here in America, he said it's hard for him to get anybody healed. But he said he goes overseas and great things happen. What is the difference? People are not indoctrinated to the sense, to the point of the sense of reasoning. People over here reason. They reason. No matter what you say, they're so educated, they reason everything out. People over there, they just get excited. You talk about God. Talk about this word of God. Talk about faith, and they just get excited. You know, they get excited. What are you trying to say to us? All right, I'm going to say a few more things here, and then I'm going to close. I'm trying to show you what you've got. The devil has talked many of you out of what you've got. That is, in using it. See, he's talked you out of your blessings. Talked you out of the great things that God has given you. Cast not away thy faith. Why? Because the Bible said it has great recompense of reward. Don't get rid of your faith. God said great things can happen to them that believe. There is a great reward for believers in this world and in the world to come. great recompense of reward. I will recompense, saith the Lord. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So then, why don't we quit reasoning? Why don't we quit wrestling against God? Why don't we quit letting the devil use us? Why don't we quit challenging faith and unite ourselves with the man of God and with the children of God and quit our foolishness and sitting in the seat of the scornful and the contrary and hindering the working of the Spirit and the greatness of God and let God do his mighty works in our midst. And let God do something for you and something for me and something for the church. If you don't, God's going to move off and leave you and do it somewhere else, Bethlehem. You're going to have to stop your foolishness and your reasoning against God. Either God's in your midst or God isn't in your midst. And if you're going to say he's not in your midst, then he's not going to be in your midst because he's going to leave you and he's not going to be in your midst. If God is here, you better use some sense of reasoning and say, God is here. And strengthen those things that remain, my brother and sister. And let's get in here and do something for God. And when you come through the door, enter into his gates with thanksgiving rather than human reasoning. Rather than leaning to your own understanding. When God commanded you not to, cast down every thought and every high thing that exalteth itself against what the word of God says. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ and believe with all of your heart. All of your soul, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Let God do something for you. Many of you out there right now that's listening at me, you're just half getting by in your finance. You're having just half enough because part of the time you believe, part of the time you don't believe, part of the time you do this, that, and the other. You reason in your mind, whereas the Bible tells you that when you stand praying, if you've got aught against your brother, forgive your brother. What does that have to do with it, Brother Pike? It simply means that anything in your heart will hinder the working of faith. You've got faith, but you've got to get all of those things out. The little foxes spoil your vines, and you can't have any fruits unto perfection or bring forth fruits unto perfection because of your human reasoning and always talking. And some people are not interested in God. They're not interested in knowing about God. They're interested in money and position and what they can get, working some kind of scheme or some kind of gimmick or taking advantage of somebody. That's all of the interest they have. They don't have any interest in growing in the grace and knowledge of God to begin with. So then you've got faith, children of God. Grow, build it up, contend for the faith, use it, strengthen the faith of God. Let your faith grow greater and mighty and bigger than ever before. You've got faith. Jesus said if you've had it as a grain of mustard seed, he said you can move a mountain. All things are possible to you. Just because you got any faith, you're a believer. That means everything's possible to you. Why not get down to business, he said, and go on and do what needs to be done. They said, but Lord, increase our faith. God could have just said, what you need to do is to take that faith and cultivate that faith a little bit. Work with it. What you need to do is give it a chance. You need to work around it a little bit. You need to strengthen it a little bit. Exercise it a little bit. And what you need to do is let it be strengthened. Because if you got any down there, if you'll give it just a little bit of opportunity, it'll move a mountain. Amen. My brother, you can't imagine how powerful faith is. Say, Brother Pike, have you ever used it? I've used it more times than I've got fingers and toes. Yeah, well, you'd have struck it lucky. I didn't strike it lucky. There ain't that many good lucks in the world. Every time I ever had a need, every time my back's been to the wall, every time I couldn't get out, every time there was no other way, I called on God. God made the way. God will make the way. Always he'll make the way. Because he's God, and I believe it. He will make the way. I might say, but I'm afraid to say that, Brother Pike, because I'm afraid he won't do it for me, and then somebody will laugh at me. Well, God's going to laugh at you, and the other's going to laugh at you anyway if you don't do it. The devil's going to laugh at you because you was afraid to try. You might as well let the devil laugh at you for trying. I'd rather he laugh at me and me trying if it failed than he laugh at me for being so weak I'd be afraid to try. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Brother, it ain't going to fail. It ain't going to fail.
All you got to do is just believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And I feel somebody wondering. I felt a wave of saying, well, if that be so. Well, it is so. A wandering bunch of hypocrites. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Wandering stars. That's all they do is wonder. Wonder. Never receive anything of God because they wander in their own human mind. Wandering stars. But there's some that says yea and amen. All the promises are yea and amen. Yea and amen. Yea and amen. No wondering to it. No reasoning to it. No leaning to their own understanding. Yea and amen. Whatever God says, it's right. I might say, well, I could believe that like the children of Israel. I could believe that, but I don't know. I didn't see any manna come down. I don't know whether it'll be any or not. I hadn't seen any meat around. I don't know whether we're going to make it or not. Well, there's one thing that I can help you with. You ain't going to make it. Now, that'll help you. So you don't have to wonder no more. There ain't going to be no meat around for you, and you ain't going to make it. You're going to die in the wilderness. But all of them that believe in God, believe in the invisible God, believe that He'll supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. All of you that believe to the saving of the soul, all of you that believe what God said, you're going to make it. God's going to meet your needs, supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Everything's going to work out for you. It's like Brother Bradley was standing there yesterday, and Brother Bradley said, well, said, he was really in a fix. Had to have $4,000. I said, well, don't worry about it, Brother Bradley. I got enough faith for me and you too. I believe God will do something for you. I believe He'll start working for you. And in a few minutes, the mail come up and he opened a letter and it was $600-something. He opened another letter and somebody said they wanted to buy something that he had. God started working. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. All right, I want you to stand with me. After all of that preaching, I feel numbers of you that don't believe. But I felt some of you that got a hold of that. It was a few of you. It wasn't very many of you. Jesus said, few there be that find it. But there was just a little few of you that I felt that struck home to. The rest of them went on reasoning. How marvel at people, how quick they forget. How easily they get mixed up. Why they wonder? They can't retain anything in their mind. No matter how carefully you outline it, how many things you say, how far you reach around to bring it and fit it all together to show it to them. In a few minutes, they come right back to that one little thing and all the others forgotten. And they still start wondering that one little thing. All of that explained and told them, they've forgotten all about it. They're back in that rut again. But while they do that, the sons and daughters of God go on believing. The Bible said, we are they that believe unto the saving of the soul. We go on enjoying the wonderful things of God. Enjoying the wonderful reality of Christ. If there is no God, then eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die anyway. If there is no faith, throw the Bible in the ocean, forget about it, don't come back to church no more. Give the church away, set it on fire, burn it down, quit troubling the people, do something with it. But if there's a God, if there is somebody that's got salvation, if there is faith, then the Bible is true. And if the Bible is true, then there's only one thing to do, and that's believe and preach the gospel and accept what Christ said about it. Let all the wandering stars fall from the heavens, for the mist of darkness is reserved for them forever. Let's sing this little chorus together. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I can have faith for salvation, a little old thing like that. But them great things I can't have faith for. My brother, you don't have any faith. You don't even have any understanding. The greatest thing that God ever done was transformate a man's life or give him a new birth. The greatest thing that ever happened. It takes the greatest faith that's ever been ministered to humanity to change a man from a natural man into a spiritual person. And it is a true fact that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And the Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The greatest thing that you ever done is when you had faith enough to be translated into the kingdom of God. You say, well, that little old thing I can do. No, I got a feeling that you didn't do that little old thing that you're talking about. That you're one of them that's here that feels that you belong to it. But your understanding proves that you never did do that little old thing that you're talking about. That you never was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The greatest disappointment there'll be in the day of the judgment is when all of a sudden hundreds and thousands of people who thought they'd done that little old thing finds out that was the greatest act of faith ever committed to mankind, and that they didn't make it. That they didn't make it. I want you to lift your hands up. We are they that believe to the saving of the soul. Not unto them that draw back, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. God who created the heavens and the earth and the stars, the ocean, the birds, the fish, the people, and all therein. God who created the creeping things for his own pleasure. God who created the things that don't creep. God who created those things that walk. God who created those things that don't walk. God who created those things that fly. God who created those things that don't fly. God who works all things after the counsel of his own will. For his own pleasure were they created in the earth. God who does what he will whenever he gets ready. Why does God do that? So that God can confound the mighty. That God can hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Why does God do that? So that all of those supposedly brilliant people that reason in their minds might be left behind while the others accept God. While all of those that walk after sight in this world and see the vain janglings of this world are cut off. But those that walk by faith and receive the word of God and believe God no matter what, not walking by sight, that they might be received into the glory of God and into the wonderful things of God. For they do believe, others make believe, others play a game. Some of you are playing a game. I spoke of you today. You're playing a game. It's a game with you. It's a game with you. Just a game, that's all. But some of you have really been born again. You're born again believers. You love Jesus, you've been born again. You believe in God. You're sincere, just as sincere as you know how to be. Some of you are playing such a game that you're almost comical to yourself. It's almost a chuckle within your heart as you stand around, because you can't even be serious with your own self. You're not even serious with your own self. You haven't even got enough God, enough conviction. Don't even pray enough. Haven't even suffered enough or got down in sorrow enough to know what the reality of life is. You've been cradled so through life that you don't even have any seriousness about the lake of fire, about lost humanity and your loved ones going to hell. Just eat. All you do, just eat and drink. You just eat and drink until you're so superficial. You just eat and drink until you're so natural-minded and so superficial until you can't even believe in reality. All you can think about is that appetite. Hungry. Always wanting something. Always wanting something. Buying. Money. Plans. Going to get another dollar. Going to get another car. Going to get another this. Pull another little deal. Work out some conning thing so you can con somebody. Make up something. Oh, what a hypocrite you are. But thanks be to God for people that love Jesus and sons and daughters of God. People that love the Lord that are simple, down to earth, plain and honest, that are trying to do the right thing, that are looking for eternal life, that want to love God, that are not trying to cause trouble and division, not trying to do evil to those that are trying to work good, not always running their mouth, as we say, talking, just talking, talking in the multitude of words that wanteth not sin. Not those that compromise with this crowd and that crowd and every crowd just to take somebody in or to work some kind of little deal or something. But somebody that believes in something. Not somebody that can laugh at a joke on a job somewhere or some little funny something that somebody says when they know that it's just colorful in the sight of God. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity seeketh not its own. It's not interested in its own projects. Charity doesn't always have some kind of project. Charity is busy about the Father's business. It's not interested in some kind of project. That's the old carnal mind. That's Satan weaving a web for you. Charity is interested in the things of God, the love of God, the knowledge of God, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, the business of God, sincerity, simplicity, honesty, being a light. That's charity, the bond to perfection. God loves you tonight. If you're honest, straight, upright, God loves you. I marvel, I told somebody today, I marvel at how many people here at Bethlehem that are here at Bethlehem and that come in and out of Bethlehem that always wants me or the Bethlehem people to give to them or do something for them. Never want to do anything for God. Never want to give anything to God. Never want to work. Never want to be honest. Always want God or God's people to do something for them. I marvel at preachers that come through that their only thought is somebody needs to give me an offering. God have mercy on our souls. Brethren, what we need to do as ministers is do like Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come for you to minister to me. I come to try to do something for you. I come to try to get a dollar to help the children. The parents should lay up for the children, not rob the children. When the children get together and give something to the parents to try to help, we're supposed to give it back to them. A good government may take money from the people, but they build highways with it. They build better lands. They build parks. They build places so that the people can have better living facilities. They provide. Corrupt, rotten, evil men, governments or whatever, steal from the people and give back just enough to blind the people and go on with their corruption of stealing. But God forbid, may it not be with us at Bethlehem. May we love God. May we give to the children. May we do something for the children. May we lay up as parents for the children. And may we coordinate building up faith and working together in unity and faith as one great family to do something that the entire world may see our light. And as Paul said, that our faith may be spoken of throughout the entire world as they see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And God will take care of the healings, and God will take care of the miracles, and God will take care of the bills, and God will take care of the people, and God will keep them safe on the highways and take care of their children, and God will take care of our enemies. Let's continue on in God, folks, and do something for God. Let's contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Let's build up our faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's do something to really stand out for God and be a hero for God and press in and really do something for God and quit conniving with every person that comes through to tear us down. Quit believing every form of doctrine. Quit sitting on the fence. Quit being half-hearted. Quit mocking. Quit doubting. Quit reasoning. And get in here and be part of Bethlehem, or get on out of here and leave the Bethlehem people alone. God's going to get you one of these days, and he'll plant you in the ground for what you're doing. You may think you're smart because you got an education. You may think you're getting by because you're crafty. You may think that you're smart because you got a dollar more than somebody else or a little prestige. But God's going to get you. You may think you're real smart because you can con somebody, blind the simple and take their dollar from them, but God will get your hide one day. Young man, young boy, young girl, you may think you're a little shrewder than the other boy or girl because you're a little smarter in your mind, but I want you to know God's got the spider weaving the web for you, and after a while you're going to get your feet into it, and God's going to let him close in for the kill, and you're going to be sorry. When you feel the sting of death and the awfulness of sin, you need to listen to Brother Pike. You're not smart at all. You're foolish. You're foolish. If you were smart, you'd believe the word of God above all of your thinking. You're not smart. You're a fool. That's what you are. Lift your hands up again, will you? While Brother Taylor comes to pray for you tonight, I want you to ask yourself the question, Jesus, what good am I in the world? What good am I to humanity? What good am I to people? What good am I to myself? Am I doing anything for God? Am I just a selfish, self-centered person that all I do is drift from one problem to another, from one person to another, from one gimmick to another? Am I some kind of person that all I ever do is drift from one gossip to another gossip, from one lust to another lust, from one evil desire to another evil desire, from one hunger to another hunger, from one thirst to another thirst, and all of that without hunger and thirst for the Word of God? Or am I hungering and thirsting after the Word of God? Am I desiring to grow in the grace and knowledge of God? Am I trying to strengthen the things that are remaining? Am I trying to build up my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost? Do I really believe I'm a son of God, that I've got faith in God? Am I really trying to do anything to live a holy life? Am I compromising with everybody and everything? If I meet somebody that don't live holy and don't believe in holiness, do I just get in there and just be part of them so I can figure out how to get a dollar out of them? Am I such a wretch as that? Or, oh God, do I hold up a standard of holiness wherever I'm at and wherever I go? Do I teach the Word of God? Do I teach righteousness? Am I anything in the earth for God? Does anybody see a light in me? Lord, help me. Help me, I pray thee, O Lord, help me. May the people of Bethlehem be a great light. So let your light shine that men may see your good works, brother, your works of holiness and righteousness, that men may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Come out from the world. Be a separate people. You ladies that wear the long dresses, the Bible said when they were beat, they were glad to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Wearing long dresses is not a shame. I noticed Brother Terrell's pictures in the magazine. Numbers of his ladies, numbers of them are wearing long dresses. I said a long time ago it would spread all around when God showed me the vision of it. When our ladies started wearing, that's no shame. Hollywood stars wore them long years ago. Nuns in the Catholic Church wore it for years and years. It's no shame. It's the only sensible thing to do for a woman to cover up a neck, and it's just like a man covers his. You ought to be glad to wear them. It makes you look like a lady. And if there is any shame, if anybody considers it shame, you ought to say, thank God that I can suffer what seems to be a little shame for his name's sake. As our brother Taylor comes, you ask the Lord these questions. Are you really doing something for God? I love you. God loves you. God wants to help you. But don't do wrong. Don't do wrong and then be sorry in the end, my brother and sister. Do something. Don't take advantage of your weak brother. Do something. Don't play a game. Be real.